What's up, YouTube? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Press TV Reef Talk Show. My name is Alex. I am Reef Talk, and with me, as always, is smirking Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, hello.
The reason I laugh is because obviously we go from having a normal conversation,
I know,
normal level of voices, yeah. And then it's like, "What's up, YouTube?" is the next thing I hear.
I know.
And so there's a big contrast, if you see what I mean.
I don't think it really suits the nature of the show or me to shout.
No, it doesn't.
I started saying it because it's cool when BRS Ryan said it, and now I'm addicted to saying it. So.
Yes. Plus, someone told you not to do it anymore, which means you now have to do it forever.
But if I don't, it's like an upbeat intro. And if I was just like, "Yes, hello, my name's Alex," you know,
yes,
which then I do anyway. Anyway, hello, podcast crew. How you doing? Today we're going to be talking about the usual nonsense, basically, but my new tank. I can't remember if I've actually said on this live stream what the tank is, because the thing is, so people kept asking me what tank you get.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to keep it under wraps until it arrives, then I'm going to announce it."
Yeah.
And then people started, like, I had loads of different people asking me questions, and some people were saying, "What tank is it?" And that's easy, it's just, "No, can't tell you." But then other people were asking me, like, probing questions, and I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, it's 6 foot. Is it an ELOS?" "No, it's not an ELOS." "And is it a water box?" "No." I ended up telling, eventually, like, people would come and buy corals from me, and they'd be like, "What tank are you?" And I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, okay, it's this." And then I started to lose track of who I told and who I hadn't.
Yeah.
And then I started posting everywhere. And I think I said on your video.
You did. Yeah. So trust me, you told loads of people on my video. It's not a secret anymore.
I can't remember if I've actually said, but it is a Red Sea Reefer 850S Gen 2.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's exactly, but it's a 6 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot. It's 6 foot long exactly.
Yeah.
It's 68 centimeters front to back, so that's 2 foot 3 inches. 2 foot, yeah, 2 foot 3 inches, and it's 60.
If only it was an extra 3 inches, you know, like foot. Yeah, it would be the same as mine, you know. So,
but it's 65 centimeters tall. There was a water box one I was looking at. That's the Infinia, some 6 foot Infinia or something, and that is wide as well, same as your width. The Red Sea tanks, I think the plumbing and all that sort of stuff, because they've updated it more recently than water box ones have, I think the plumbing and the layout and all that is nicer. And the thing that swung it for me on the Red Sea tank, kind of getting straight into this, was they call it a sump extension. So you've got the main sump where you put all your skimmers and all that lot, and then over the other side of the wooden wall, there's a sump extension that you can put. You put a refugium in, you do whatever you want, but I'm going to use that as a frag tank. And after I saw that, I was like, I really want it. So all other tanks, I was like, but it doesn't have a frag tank. And I was looking at the sumps for all the other tanks, trying to work out where I would put a frag tank, because you can do it in any sump.
Yes.
But just having it completely separate just makes it so much easier, because you don't get algae on your skimmer from the light. And just,
have you got an example of the sump, just so I can see, like, picture what you're talking about?
So I'll bring up the photo from the Red Sea website, but the sump is quite small for a 6 foot tank.
I was going to say, all they've done is made the sump smaller.
Exactly. It's big enough to fit all the stuff you need, but I was trying to work out, you can see dimensions, it doesn't make sense until it's in front of you.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, and the sump isn't in place yet, by the way, but when I saw the sump gap, I was like, it's not that big a sump. It's got room for the skimmer, the phosphate reactor, and the filter roller, which is all I really need. But it's not massive, and for a 6 foot tank, I would have thought you'd get this enormous sump. But anyway, right, so I've found the website, so I'm just going to go through the tedious process.
I'm assuming it comes with an RO reservoir.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that doesn't it?
No. But and so actually I think I asked Red Sea about that like a year or two ago on.
Oh, I just realized that's so they can sell those canisters to you as well.
So they said they phased this out because I can't remember if it was just on the peninsula or all of their tanks. I think it was just the peninsula, because I asked about it, And they said that, I think they've, is this right? I might be misremembering, but most of their customers said that they removed the in-sump.
Yes, it was terrible.
Anyway, exactly. Yeah. And put in their own. And I would have used my own. Yeah. I prefer to have it out of the sump anyway. But anyway, whatever. And now I've lost my page, Ryan, because you're into
it. I was filling in the time so that you could like find it.
Well, here it is. So this is, that's the exact tank, in fact. This is the 850. And then, so the main sump is on the left-hand side there where it says 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So it's not massive. You've got this, the space where the filter socks are, obviously I'll put a reef mat in there.
Yeah.
And then 11 is for skimmer and phosphate reactor. And the bit behind it is where your return goes. Oh, actually, there might be a bit more space. Anyway, whatever.
No, it really is quite small, actually.
It's not massive. It's big enough, but it's not like I did think 6 foot tank, I was like, it's going to be massive. There's going to be so much space, but there isn't. Yeah. But that's because you get this, and the trade off is you get this dedicated space you can use for refuge and whatever. And I'll be using for a frag tank. And I think that's trade off. The other downside is that because that frag tank sump is there, the dry part of the cabinet is actually not very big.
Okay.
There's not loads of space for dosing containers, for auto testers, all these sorts of things.
It's weird that they've got like a tank connector between those two tanks rather than just having a baffle.
So there's a solid wall between that panel there, that black panel there, that is a solid wall of MDF or whatever.
It's a support, I've assumed, for the front of the tank, yes.
Correct, yeah. So that's why they have that system. And I've been trying to wonder how I'll get water to flow properly between the two of them.
Yeah.
I think I'll just leave it. Just put a power head in the sump. Yeah. But I don't. I think it'll be okay. But
the only thing that, although you'll obviously have a roller mat on it, but so I used to have a frag rack in the sump of my 1,000 liter tank, and so much crud gets underneath the rack because obviously that's where all the detritus and everything settles. It's the lowest flow area. And it would probably be even worse if it's in that little if the water has to go through that pipe. Although it might also stop the device going there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll definitely need a power head either way.
I'll probably need a couple of power heads. And the downside of that is there's more plugs. I had about 28 plugs on my last system. Yeah.
28?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is... You have more power heads than me, and we've got equal number of lights.
But so, on the last system I had, what did I have? What my light? Oh yeah, so I had four refactory lights. So there's four plugs. I had two reef bright strips. So that's six lights, six plugs for lights alone.
Yeah.
I had four MP40s. So that's 10, power, light and flow, 10 plugs. Not even got started.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts. So I was hoping to reduce that. And I was trying to weigh up with the lights, for example. I'm going for the Red Sea lights. And I was trying to weigh up if I should. They recommend three on this size tank, the 160s.
Yeah.
And I was trying to weigh up. I was like, three is good because that's one less plug. But I ended up going for four because I prefer to have more coverage and rather run them lower. But that is another plug. And then I'll have two AI blades at some point. So that's two more plugs. And it's plugs everywhere.
I should put the blades on as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll go up straight away.
Yeah,
I haven't bought them yet, but I will put them on at some point because I really like them. And that's because the only thing with the my perfect combination that I've got on these two tanks. Oh, I've just realised I meant to do something. Is Kessel and AI blade, and it's Kessel for the shimmer, and AI blade for the fluorescence. And Red Sea shimmer is basically the same as Kessel shimmer. I used to have the ReefLead 90 on my water box. And the only reason I got rid of it was because the shimmer was great, but it didn't give really good blue fluorescence. So yeah. I swapped out for the refactory one, which did give good blue fluorescence. But now if you just put AI blades either side, you get the blue fluorescence anyway. So
what are you going to do? Are you going to do what I had done where the plugs are in the cabinet?
Yes. They're going
to be good. Thank God you said yes, because otherwise I was going to fight you on it.
Why?
Because it's so good having them in the cabinet as opposed to being on the wall behind the tank, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
So it makes, like, that was one of the best things I did. And I assume you've not had that done before. That's not how your old tank was like, is it?
My old tank had, yeah, they were always in the cabinet, yeah.
Oh, were they?
In the dry section, yeah. But because I've got those DJ switches. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
there's eight sockets. They're all lights, and so you just
But they got orange switches on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I know which ones. Yeah.
So I had three of those in my dry section of the cabinet, and another one in a cabinet under the telly. So this is one of the things that people pointed out on Instagram. Well, I posted a photo of it the other day of the cabinet setup anyway, and there's two plugs, just one double plug socket.
Yeah.
And a few people were like, oh mate, what a lot, that's a lot of electricity for two plugs. Yeah. But I've got there are two more that you can't see that I'll be using as well, so there's three double sockets I'll be running off, but nonetheless it's still too many plugs.
I've got like eight or nine plugs behind the water box.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Double sockets though.
Yeah, yeah.
So what, so 18 overall?
Yeah, I had loads of, there's 72 plugs in the coral farm. There's like, you don't see them because they're all in the roof. So all the wires go through holes into the roof because I wanted to make it look so you couldn't see them.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's a fire hazard. Sometimes I wonder.
The only thing with that is how do you, if you need to unplug something and get to it?
Yes.
How'd you do it?
Now that doesn't, well, I have to literally climb up into it through a hatch into the roof, but it doesn't happen very often, touch wood, that I need to go. I probably would, in the last 4 years, I've probably been up there, I know, less than 10 times.
Yeah, okay.
Because everything's controlled by my phone, so if I want to turn something off, I just turn it off from my phone.
I do find every now and then I need to change something around though, and like with my last cabinet, my last tank, the dry cabinet had all these plugs in it, and it was a mess, and they were all tangled up. So it's not like you can just pull it out, and there's 3 meters of cable to play with. They're all tangled into each other. So if you pull one thing, it like unplugs your skimmer and your return pump and all this. So I'm keen to avoid that. And this is going to be a slow build. So like on YouTube, what YouTube likes is when you upload a video every week.
Yeah.
Hey, week one cabinet, week two tank, week three fish. You know, it's not going to be like that.
are you going to challenge me with regards to slow builds?
I'm not going to be that slow. But I do like once I've got the tank in place. The cabinet's built, by the way, it's in place, but the tank is not in place yet. And that's going to be a couple more weeks before that happens. I've got an aquarium maintenance company helping me get it in the house because it's bloody massive.
Yeah.
Although actually you made a good point. I need to ask if they're insured. Because that's the main reason, isn't it?
That is literally the main thing.
Who doesn't break it. And if they break it, then you want, but anyway, whatever.
Not just that, your windows as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's all very true.
Anyone could take a window out, put it back. It might not be quite.
Anyway, so it's going to be a couple of weeks before the tank goes in. But once it all goes in, if it takes me, actually that might give me time to, no, I'm not going to start plugging stuff in. If it takes me 2 weeks to plug in the skimmer and route the cable in the right place and then plug in everything and do it bit by bit, so be it.
Yeah, it won't. You're going to do it all in the same afternoon in an hour.
Probably.
And go, yeah, that'll do.
And it will be a mess. But in my head, I've worked out what I want to do. But with this sort of thing, normally, because it takes so long, it's quite tedious to do that. You start like, yeah, okay, first one, line that up nicely. And then when you look across and you've got another 20, so it might end up like that, but
yeah,
that's not the plan. The plan is to take my time, but it doesn't really matter if the plug, it's going to be a bit of a nest of snakes anyway, because with 20 odd cables, 30 cables, it's going to be a mess. So I just like it. I'd like it not to be a complete and utter mess, but we'll see.
There you go. What have you noticed, anything else that's different or that you like about it at the moment? Obviously I know you've only built the stand. I saw the picture. You had it backwards and upside down. I wasn't sure if you were aware of that.
I was aware of that. I don't think there's anything I've noticed that I didn't know beforehand. The size was not a surprise, but given there's 6 feet of space.
Wait till the tank's on, because you think it's big now. Wait till the actual tank is on and full. You're going to go, wow, this is way bigger than I thought.
Well, I've put the, so the other thing on that people point out on Instagram was the gap between the tank and my sofa was like a foot.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's, you're going to stub your toe on that. And it's like, it's all right. That's not in its final place. So I've now put it in its final place. There is a big gap. And it actually doesn't look too bad, but when there's half a ton of glass on it.
Yeah. Well, I might get a call from Mrs. Reefdorp then going, you know how you convinced me to let this happen? I was unaware it was going to be this big.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it's quite tall as well. So actually the cabinet is nice and low.
Yeah.
And that was one of the key things. I had to have a tank that was low. And the fact that this tank is 65 centimeters tall, so 2 foot 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
And ideally, I would have had it shallower. I would have had it 60 centimeters or 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect for me. Because I like to be able to see top down easily. But the fact that the cabinet is so much shorter than my tank was before, yeah, means it is still lower, even factoring in the thing. But I think it's the cabinet is 13 centimeters lower than my cabinet was. So yeah, I'm
you
still
had a really tall cabinet, didn't you? I remember
100 centimeters. It looked wicked. And like if you set up as a proper peninsula in like a big house, that having a tall, imposing cabinet with a tall, imposing tank would look really good. But when you set up the way I did, it was massive. And it was so tall that it was a struggle. I'm 6'1", and I struggled to see top down. I had to use stepladder to see it top down.
Yeah.
So I wanted something shallower. And you're never going to get proper low, but 87 centimeters instead of 100 centimeters for the cabinet is much more palatable.
Yeah.
But what else have I noticed? I haven't nothing else really at the moment. I've not taken the tank out of the box. I opened it to see if it was there. I didn't do a proper check, but I opened it to see if it was there, had a look at some plumbing, that's it. I had a bit of difficulty putting the cabinet together. I did it on my own. It was actually pretty easy. It took 2 evenings and I took my time.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of things. It's so easy. This is the same with any flatback furniture. It's so easy to get one panel upside down or the wrong way around. And then you only notice 10 steps later when it's like, screw it into that hole. And you're like, where's the hole? Oh, it's on the other bloody side.
Yeah.
And you've got to then undo it. And
Jamie will probably be watching this going, why is Ryan nodding saying yes? Because I put his cabinet together.
Oh, actually, that's a point. So I've been looking at the I'm using for the lighting rail. I've got the Red Sea, I can't remember what it's called, pendant for that. And it's, I was looking at how I would set that up, and I could do it, no problem.
Yeah.
But Jamie did yours, and he did.
No, you worry. I know a guy.
So I think I might give Jamie a shout. Hello.
Yeah.
Because it looks really neat, and if I fit it up myself, it probably won't look so neat.
Well, I can assure you, I'd give 5 stars on Trust the Trader. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can highly recommend. He will be listening to this at some point. Maybe not now. He might be flying, I think, at the moment.
Yeah. But no, it's good. It's exciting. It's the only, because the tank and the cabinet and everything. Oh, the good thing actually. So when I was talking to someone on Ultimate Reef before, and they were telling me some really useful information. So for a start, that on the actual tank, the plumbing sits about an inch below the glass, so you can't just rest it on the ground flat.
Yeah,
it has to be raised. That's a really good tip. But the other thing he said was the cabinet comes packed underneath the tank.
Yeah.
So what I thought I was going to have to do was get people around, lift up the tank, move the cabinet out, put the tank back down, and then get it in the house and come back and do the tank another week. But actually, it's the other way around. So the tank comes in a box. If you've ever bought a Red Sea or a water box tank, they come in this like an MDF box. And on top of that was the cabinet, the parts for the cabinet stand.
Yeah.
So it was really easy. It was massive box and it was semi-heavy, but it was really easy to get that out, get that into the house, build it. And then the tank is a bit different, but that was really good to know actually, because I just it was going to be a nightmare otherwise.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how. See, I don't think I had that. No, I definitely had the same issue where it had to be flat. I don't think with the water box. I know the Red Sea ones. They are the tank connectors are. You're correct. Yeah. You can't put it down, can you? Yeah, because I remember that with my. Because that's the same even with the smaller ones.
And I'd forgotten that as well, because I knew that because it was the same on my peninsula.
Yeah.
But that was like 5-6 years ago I set up, so I'd forgotten it. And he told me, I was like, that's a good point. I don't think that's going to affect anything, but it's stuff like that, logistics like that, that's really useful to know.
Yeah. It just makes it more difficult to get in because you have to lift, rather than just lifting it up and putting it onto the stand and then sliding it on, you have to lift it up and get it all the way to the very back and then put it down.
Which is going to be difficult.
But... obviously, if it's up against a wall. The only thing that I will say, is yours going right up against your wall?
I've left the biggest gap I can. So on the left hand side, because it's going in the corner, there's a gap big enough for me to fit down just about. I won't be able to bend down and do stuff, but I'll be able to fit down there and hand down for algae scrapers. But on the back wall, there's a gap of probably 2-3 inches, and that's it. So
there was one thing that I did wrong with the water box. It is like probably an inch too close to, I have a little tiny section of wall that comes out, and it's probably, and it's only about that wide, and I can't get my hand down it. It's so, yeah, it's right up against that wall. If I'd made it like just an inch wider, it would have, I could have easily cleaned the algae with an algae magnet, but because it's right up against it, I can't. So I have to actually clean it from the inside. And yeah, by clean it from the inside, I mean not at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I would probably just about be able to get, I can fit an MP40 wet, dry side down the back, yeah, if I want to. I don't,
oh, you'll be fine then.
But I getting my hand down to scrape algae would be awkward. I don't, yeah, tend to scrape the back glass anyway. I just let Coraline grow on it or whatever. So yeah, so I don't think I'd be, in an ideal world, you'd have a space around every single, you'd be able to walk around the entire tank.
Yeah, yeah.
But you want it flat up against the wall enough so that it looks slick.
Yeah.
But and not too far that it looks a bit silly, but you do want enough gap to do stuff. But the annoying thing was with my peninsula, the gap that was behind the tank was big enough that I could reach most of the way down, but I couldn't fit, like my chest wouldn't fit in. So the side of the tank on this one where it's
up. So there's muscles, eh?
Yes, I'm ripped. So, but the side of the tank now, it will be big enough, so my chest will fit in.
Yeah,
unless I get fatter, which is, you know, likely to happen.
Just to clarify, a tank where you can get all the way around it is not the ideal situation, because then you have four panels of glass you have to clean.
No, this is true. I just mean gap maintenance, yeah, gap. But
that's the one thing I would do if I redid the coral farm. I would there's always things that you don't think about. I would rethink about the space between the frag racks and the glass so that I could easily clean them.
Yeah.
That's one. There's only two or three things that I would 100% change if I went bigger. And do you know what's funny? I am actually, I've every day at the moment, I think, I wonder how I could go bigger. I don't know why. It's just something that's in my mind at the moment.
Were you, there was a commercial development on your housing estate, wasn't,
yeah,
there?
I know, yeah.
You were asking about.
Yeah, well, I was just intrigued, but I don't know why I want to go bigger, because I think I said to you that I'm not utilizing the trays the best I can as it is, because there's some trays where I could clear some out. So before going bigger, I should probably make sure it's 100% utilized rather than like 80% utilized. Yeah,
probably. So. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Probably interesting and witty, but you'll have to
watch. As always.
But yeah, so with it was something to do with the farm, and yeah. Do you think that will ever happen? Actually, do you think you'll ever actually upgrade the farm, or will you just stay with it as is?
No, it will get bigger at some point. Definitely, 100%, it will get bigger at some point. But it will. I think I'd have to move. I think is what's likely would happen. Because I would move to somewhere with a bigger garage, essentially. When I bought this house and I went into the sales office, they said to me, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms? I said, don't care, just give me one with a garage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, next time I'll go, I don't care, just give me one with a double garage.
Yeah.
And that's how I'll upgrade. But I can't imagine having to move this. Can you imagine, like, I think I would probably sell everything. I think, yeah, I would probably do.
I moved a 100 liter nano tank,
yeah,
50 miles, and yeah, it was the worst day of my life. So and I had like 10 corals in it and five, yeah, fish. So moving that farm, the only way you could do it really would be to keep your house, buy another house.
I know, that is literally,
and then move it across over a period of 6 months.
You know what's funny? It actually gives me anxiety. I think about this all the time. Like, yeah, what am I going to do when I want to move house? Because obviously you have to get out of the house usually by like 1 o'clock or something, or 12, and then you move into your new house. So I have like 12 hours or whatever. Yeah. Even if it was 24 hours, I still couldn't move it.
No way.
So, but isn't it funny how it gives me anxiety, even though I have no plans of moving.
Mm.
But I do think about it all the time, actually. So
interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I think it's the same as with you with your tank. You'll go, I didn't like that about my old tank, so I want to do this. And I'm thinking, I don't like the stand, so I want to get a new stand. And I don't like this about it, so I want to do this about it. But obviously, for me to do that, I have to get a whole new building rather than a whole new tank.
That's what I was going to ask. Would you ever replace all of the frag racks to make them slightly smaller so it's easier to do the algae scraper? Might cost a couple of grand, but would it be worth it?
what I actually would probably if I not now I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it with this farm. If I went bigger, what I would do is I would just order the tanks slightly, like a couple of inches wider, so I could still use the frag racks. although I would actually have the tanks very differently as well. I'd have long tanks, much longer rather than short ones. That's probably what I would.
But have you got the space for longer?
Well, in my new double garage, definitely yes. I couldn't make these longer. It's a tight fit having three people in there sometimes. So I've actually had a quite a busy weekend this weekend. Okay. Because you probably saw I put out a thing saying I'm trying to get rid of big colonies. You were the reason I did this, because sometimes you come to the farm and you go, yeah, I'm not really sure I'm happy about this, Ryan. So then the next day I fix it.
Just plant a seed.
Yeah. And then you sort of went, I can't remember what you said. Maybe I said it to you. I can't actually remember. But
We were talking about, wouldn't it be great if everything was in rows? So you had five rows of Cyphastria, green, red, blue, pink, yellow, and then five rows of whatever, you know. And
do you see how he manipulates me? It's like emotional, like emotional manipulation. Yeah. He doesn't go, you need to sort out these trays. He goes, wouldn't it be nice if you just did this? I started thinking after that, and then the next day I put a post out saying, like, who wants some big colonies? Now, it's really interesting. Yeah, that. Although that picture is like vastly warped, and I don't know why.
You messaged me asking me if Instagram filters my photos. It doesn't.
Yeah. And I hate it that it's like that, because I don't put pictures out like that, do I?
No.
So I've had loads of people this weekend. What is interesting is, so I had probably like 60 people contact me.
Oh, really?
Yes, I had loads of people contact me about it. And some people, I sent everyone the same message where I went, look, come to the farm. I promise you, like, because everyone goes, oh, what's the prices? What's for sale? Whatever. I said, look, here's all the pictures. I sent them like 15 pictures. I said, come to the farm. Don't worry about the prices. Like you tell me what you want, and then we'll cut off a bit that you're happy with. And so those people came. And those people left with far better bits than they expected, okay. I believe. Yeah. I got that massive acro. They said, how much do you want to spend? They said, love, 30 quid. And then they got a piece that's like the size of my hand. So for 30 quid. So all the people that made it more difficult were going, I'm not coming unless you actually give me a specific price and a specific size of the frag I'm going to be getting or whatever, have actually like missed out, because all the good, like, the people that just came and made it easy for me.
Yeah.
It's difficult because I can't cut. I don't know what sort of things they're going to come off the trays in, whatever sizes pieces they're going to come off.
If you see what I mean.
So I can't say, yeah, you can have this piece, because it might break into four or five pieces.
Yeah, I see. Okay. It's funny, because I'd be like the awkward people who's like, oh, I like certainty. I like to know.
I know. But some people live like 5 minutes away. So what's the harm?
Oh, yeah, true.
As I said, it's funny. It doesn't look any different. So I had loads of people this weekend.
Yeah.
It barely looks any different. And I realized why. It's because obviously the corals are growing like 10 frags off like one or two stalks, because they were originally frags themselves. So when you take them out, you're not clearing a piece on the tray, you're clearing the air above the piece on the tray, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
So it still looks like there's plenty to get on with.
Todd Garden says that. He says people will come along and take like a truckload of corals, and you wouldn't know that they've been.
And because the other thing is, if it's a piece of coral that I like really want to get rid of, because it's because that was the other thing, people going, how much is the Hollywood Stunner chalice? I'm like, well, the Hollywood Stunner chalice, as you've seen it, is about 2 feet wide circle. so how do I price that, if you see what I mean?
yeah
So, and I just break pieces off, and then people were getting pieces that were like this. I'm like, there you go, that's 10 quid
size of your head. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because it suits me to get rid of it. And I will get back to the people. I said to everyone, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let all the people who come, who just want to turn up first and take what they want first. And then after that, I will come back to the people who like want specific prices of things, because then I'll be able to like break pieces off and go like, this piece is going to be this amount for this exact piece. Cause I'll have room, if you see what I mean. Yeah. So if you trust, sometimes you get better, but I'm the same. I'm like you where I would want to know exactly.
Especially if you don't know. So actually when you get to know you and you've bought from you a couple of times,
yeah,
that's the sort of thing you do quite often.
Yeah.
But as a customer, if a customer's never used you before, they don't know you're like that.
Yeah.
They might just think you're being tight, you know, you're not trying to rip them off or whatever, but you might be looking after yourself. But that's not really the way you do it. So the people who know that.
What happens is I go, so someone said to me today, they wanted a piece of digitata. And I said, how much are you looking to spend? They went, oh, I don't know. I can't remember what they said. But like 20 quid. And I go, okay, so if I cut this amount off for you, is that worth 20 quid for you? And they went, yeah, that's fine. So then the customer is always happy, if you see what I mean, because they're picking the size of the frame. Now, if someone tried to take advantage and went, oh no, I want the whole thing, like it's a bit different.
Yeah. But for a quid,
but people don't usually do that, if you see what I mean.
Well, I bet people normally go the other way and they're like, oh, you can't give me that much. Oh, I'll buy something else. And No.
I want people to leave feeling happy, if you see what I mean. I want them to go, because if they leave feeling like annoyed, they won't come back. And I want people to come back again every weekend. Because then I won't have this problem of too many corals.
This is very true.
I think you get, I got some undata from you ages ago, I think.
Yes.
I had a piece that was like the size of your forearms, like literally it was
more than a foot long, it's massive.
Yeah. Well, that went to someone, I think, for like 10, 20 quid, I think, for that whole. Yeah, this is what I mean.
Beeping hell. Undata is such an underrated coral. Like, I got rid of it, but only because it was surrounded by similar colored corals. But that was my favorite Monty. I prefer that to Tropic Thunder, because Tropic Thunder is horrible. But that was my favorite of all the Montys. It's such a nice coral. Really, like a slightly unusual color with like white polyps. It's nice.
I prefer Tropic Thunder to that, if I'm honest.
I love it.
It's just a bit green. Like
that's the only problem with it is it's the same color as every other Monty, basically. Well, you know, more or less, it's a shade of green. But I love undata. I think it's a really nice coral. 10 quid for that is mental.
I do that with the when people order as well. If it will fit in a frag pot. And I've got a massive piece, I've still got a 2 foot piece of undata. So it didn't matter that I've already given the 1 foot piece away, basically. Yeah. So if people order undata, although there's a frag picture on the website that's like this, the last person that ordered it got a piece that's like this.
Well, that's the problem with Signature Frags did an update. He does updates every now and then. He did a website update on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the problem with and I see this in your photos as well. And I'm not criticizing either of you, obviously, but he'll post a photo. And it'll be of a frag that's been cut a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of semi-based out and just looks relatively small-ish. Same as you.
Yeah.
And then actually when you see it, it's not like that coral isn't going to sell the same day. Some of them might do, but they're not all going to sell. So it'll probably be 3 months later. And it's twice the size.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not, neither of you, you couldn't update that photo every week, could you? It'd be,
no.
You'd need
I don't usually, I know he does that because like, I could definitely sell more corals if I did what you see, what you get. But the amount of time to do a what you see, what you get out of a digitata when they all look roughly exactly the same, it's not worth doing. So
it's funny because it doesn't actually matter what the frag looks like, especially with a Monty, because within 3 days, it's going to be five times the size. So, but it's, whenever I'm at a coral shop, I will always choose the one that looks the nicest, and everyone does this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make an ounce of difference because in 6 months' time, you won't know.
I see this every time someone comes to the farm. They're like, well, not every time. A lot of people just go, I'll just pick whichever one you want to pick. Yeah. And I usually just pick the biggest one and put it in there. But sometimes you'll see people and they're like, oh, can I have the one that's four back and two to the right? And I'm like, if all the other corals weren't here, like, so if you couldn't see all the other different shapes of that frag, you would be happy with any of them, if you see what I mean. It's only because you can see the other ones that it makes a difference, even though they're all roughly the same size. So I'm basically saying, yes, I agree with you that like it doesn't make a difference. If one's like, oh, am I boring you?
Just tired.
I know. If one of them's like this and one of them's like this, then obviously it's a big difference. But if they're all like pretty much the same within like 10%, I sometimes I'm like, why do people put so much attention into what they're getting?
So Reef Keeper Moss End has, this is where I got the idea of your all your corals in a row. So I don't know, six months, a year ago, they did a complete rehash of all their coral trays, and they made everything much neater. All it's all priced, so you can see what the price. So good having stuff priced. It's loads of shops don't. And anyway, it was all neat and it looked wicked. And now they've got like 10 frags in a row, and I'll do a hybrid of that. So if it's if they're all the same, I'll be like, that one I'll do whatever, or you choose, you know, whatever. But sometimes there'll be five, let's say, and some are maybe there's not as based out as the other, or what, that one's a bit retracted or whatever. So then I'll choose specifically, but because I think sometimes it's worth it. But
The chances are, though, if the other four weren't there, you would still have taken that one piece completely. That wasn't quite based out enough, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was trying to get at earlier.
I see. What was I going to say? So Conscientious Reefer, I meant to say this at the start. He says, did Red Sea send you the tank or did you buy it with your own money? I was sent it. So thanks for reminding me on that one. So I sent the tank. Anything you see that was Red Sea in my videos, photos or whatever, you should assume that it was given to me for free, because they gave me the tank, the lights, the reef mat, and then a bunch, no other equipment. I've got my own skimmer. I've got my own return pump and all that sort of stuff. And then some other stuff like the couple of test kits and the reef mature kit, that like the ammonia cycling stuff. What else? And they're going to send me some two-part dosing solutions. But basically, if you see anything on that tank that is Red Sea, you should assume I've bought it, and then factor that in objectivity-wise as you wish.
You should assume that you didn't buy it. You said.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
You're just two contradicting statements. Who asked that question originally?
Conscientious Reefer. Oh, okay. On here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so because Island Reef has just responded saying, "Given for free." Damn.
Yeah.
People like, I will come to Alex's. Like, it's not a defense, because it doesn't need to be defended. A huge amount of work goes into running a YouTube channel, a tremendous amount of work. It is done for love, not for money, I can assure you.
But I think the reason people say that is because, a few people say that, and it's not just me, it's like whoever gets a tank, it's like, I wish it wasn't sponsored or whatever, because it removes some portion of objectivity. I will always do my best to tell you the good and the bad, and be completely objective. And I like to think actually my reviews are complete down the line. They talk about good things and bad things. I don't just say it's good, you should buy it. So I'll always do my best to do that. But if an aquarium company gives you a tank, there's going to be some part of you that is not as objective as you would be if you bought it yourself. And it might be like a small thing that you think, I'm not going to say that because it was a £5,000 tank and it was free. Whereas if it was your own stuff, you'd moan about it more. So I think that's why people say it, because they're like, I just wish it was, you know, a bit more independent or whatever. But
I don't think it's your responsibility to give an opinion. I think it's your responsibility as some, because they come to people like us for advertising. So I think that we are responsible to show what a product does, but not necessarily give an opinion if we don't want to. I
take a different view. I do. And on all my reviews, I give an opinion on it. At the end of the day, what I think of something isn't the most important thing. So 90% of the video is the objective things. This is what it does. Yeah. These are the things that are good and bad. But in my opinion, at the end, doesn't really matter, but I'll generally give it anyway. But I do think it's useful. And I do. I don't see, if someone gives me something for free, I don't see that as advertising. It is, because they wouldn't give it to me.
Otherwise, I wouldn't give it to you.
But I don't see myself as responsible to advertise that product.
Yeah.
So if someone sends me something, and they might think we're going to send this because we're going to get advertising, I'm thinking I'm going to get this because I'm going to review it.
Yeah.
So I don't think of myself as advertising. I'm not an extension of your marketing team. You give me something, and my duty is to the viewer to say, is it good? Is it bad? Oh, well, most stuff is. You and I do the same. If we got something that's rubbish, we don't want it, so we send it back.
Yeah, true.
So it's normally going to be, look, this is good, but these are the things you need to know about it that might be deal breakers for you. I think it's good, but you might not like that. Like if it's a light, you might not like because it's too blue or the power cable's too short, all those sorts of things. So I do see it as a responsibility to talk about it. And I don't think you can, realistically, I don't think you can not give an opinion. Like if I was going to say, you know what, I've got that tank and I'm just not going to give an opinion, I have opinions, and like I can't, I'm a human being, and if I like something or I don't like something, I'm going to talk about it. You can't just be quiet, you know, and be a robot. Like,
so. I see what you mean.
But anyway, so hang on a second, Smith, follow up on that point. It's not the inferred loss of objectivity. It separates you from the viewers. Okay, people like to fantasize that I could have that tank just like that. He's just like me. Yeah, I see that. But that's how YouTube works at the end of the day, isn't it?
True.
So, true. Anyway, have you? We've not really talked about your week in reefing. Have you got anything to share?
So the quarantine for those fish is almost coming to an end. That's how long they've been quarantined for.
You not caught
the, not the assessor. Oh,
no,
not the assessor. Are you about to bring the fish?
I am. I thought you had quarantined all the fish.
No, so they've all been in quarantine, but it takes a month to quarantine them, doesn't it?
Oh, I thought they were all treated and done. Okay.
Yeah, so they've all been treated, but obviously they're in treatment for an entire month. So it started a month ago in 3 days' time. So like the King Eye and the Yellow Tang and the Majestic have all been through quarantine. I'm not sure. Do I leave them in copper? Because they're fine in copper. Like they've been fine in it for a month. So how long do I leave? They're all eating. They're all happy. They get fed twice a day. Pardon?
What does Humblefish say? Follow that.
Generally people are desperate to get fish out of quarantine, aren't they? And put them straight into the tank. Now, the other option is I can literally take all the water out and just replace it with normal water that has no copper in it.
Yeah.
Which is probably the right thing to do. I might leave them slightly longer. So I might leave them for 40 days rather than 30 days. Just because of obviously the issue that I had before where something's obviously snuck through. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been a lot more diligent where I'm constantly testing the copper. Even though copper doesn't change, like the level, with copper power, it stays the same.
Oh yeah. Cause you specifically chose copper power because others apparently fluctuate or get bound up or something.
Yeah.
Or...
So that's basically the reason I did it. Now, if the only thing I could think of, obviously I'm topping up the water manually, like the RO water, and I'm literally using a watering can. And so I wonder if it was right on the edge of what was what will kill parasites, although it wasn't really, because it was like 2.2 or something, or 2.3. And I think 2 is what will kill them. And obviously when I'm putting in the RO water, if I put too much in, it dilutes the copper, doesn't it? And I just wonder if that's how something snuck through. Maybe.
Oh, I see.
Because okay. Other than that, I literally cannot work out how I got it wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah,
came in on a snail or something.
Possibly. I don't know. But so they
I'd be tempted to take them out of copper. Yeah. I don't know squat about quarantining, but it feels like even though they're fine, you've already said that their appetites were suppressed, and why keep them in copper longer than they need to? Yeah.
No, so their appetites are fine. It was the fact I couldn't feed as much food because they're all in a small tank.
Oh, I think when you first move them in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, yeah, they don't eat as much, yeah. And then obviously I have a second quarantine tank, which has now only been going for a week, which has the assessor in it. And again, that it seems to be fine. You were going to get a picture of, I don't know if you're going to get up. Someone commented on that picture saying that it looks like it's starving. That fish is not starving. I know it looks like it is, but it's not. It's how it's sitting in the net.
So when I pulled this up a second ago, I thought that's a really good example
of a dead fish
of what to look for in a thin fish, because that fish, to most people, you look at that and you'd be like, it's tube shaped, it's fine. But this is the bit here.
I promise
that is
the you.
Cause for concern. Oh, no, I'm not saying it is, but this is the part on when fish are thin, the lateral, like they're squished up like that when they're really thin. But that bit there is the bit that's easy to miss. And that if you see that's really dented in,
I don't know if you can see this, or you won't be able to. But that picture was taken like literally probably a minute later, and you can see it doesn't have. You can't see it.
Terrible photo.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't put it on Instagram. But every other picture of that fish, you've got rid of yourself. I don't know if you know that.
Oh yeah, sorry, I meant to bring myself back.
Yeah, every other picture of that fish is like. That was the problem with it. I couldn't starve it because it was eating stuff in the tank.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't go in the trap because of that reason.
But you caught it.
Yeah. But that picture, someone went, oh, you need to feed that fish. And I'm like, no, the fish is fine. It's just how the picture makes it look. But I understand why it looks like that.
I'm gonna ask something in the chat. We'll come back onto that because Jay's Real Reef said sponsored by Red Sea. That's awesome, mate. Well deserved. Red Sea are a brilliant company. So, couple of things on that. First off, I love Red Sea. I really enjoy working with them. There are some companies who approach you, normally the small companies, who it's a bit of a pain in the ass to work with them. Red Sea are brilliant. The nice people, very good at what they do, intelligent. I like dealing with them. So I agree, and I like them. But the reason I wanted to pull this up was sponsored by Red Sea. And someone on my Instagram post said, is this a sponsored build? And I said, well, they're not paying me, and they're not. I don't get any cash, but they've given it to me for free. And I personally, and I'm going to ask you guys in the chat and in the comments what you think. If someone gives me a product for free,
yeah,
I don't consider that to be sponsored. And this is what I think is a gray area.
What is it then?
This is the thing. Sponsorship to me means you've been paid. You've got either you're on commission or you've got you get given cash. And so, but because so I don't put that little banner up. The only time you'll ever see on my videos the banner that says this includes paid promotion is if I've been paid cash money.
Yeah.
And I think that's only two videos ever. Oh, actually, no, four videos with a Reef Casa. And then the Abyss, purple Yerpal tank.
Yeah.
So five videos technically, but two because one was a build series. But I only ever put that banner up, paid promotion, if I've been paid money, because I don't think if I say sponsorship, that means like I feel like I'm in their pocket almost, and like I owe them something. Whereas if I get given something for free, I don't think of that as sponsored. So I don't put up, but instead, because people will think there's some kind of compromise there, instead I say in the video, this was given to me for free.
Yeah.
Because then I think that's the clearest way possible. And then because I just think it's misleading, especially if you just say, like if I did a review and I don't say anything, and I just put the banner up that says include pay promotion. What does that mean? Does that mean that this is an advert, or does it mean that, and what, like if you talk about three things, what were you given for free? Was it all, was it, you know? But that's what's your take on that? If a YouTuber is given something for free, me, anybody, doesn't matter who, do you think that is sponsored? Tell me what you think.
From what I've seen in the chat so far, it is very it's very mixed. So some people say it's a review and it's not sponsored. And some people say it's sponsored.
Marketing?
Yeah.
Paid because it's a free tank. Yeah, I get the viewpoint. And mine was an expensive tank.
It's so, definitely marketing, because otherwise they would give everyone a free tank, or they'd give some random person a free tank that doesn't have as many followers as you.
But it's the company marketing. I'm not marketing. I don't. My purpose is they're doing the marketing. I'm not trying to persuade you to buy a tank.
Yeah.
Or to, like, if I make a product with you, I'm not trying to persuade you to buy that product unless I think it's brilliant.
I like Alex Smith's response. Is that another account of yours? Just under Smith.
Could be, actually, yeah. We're hung up on terminology. You've nailed it. Say the tank was free, which you have. People are going to draw their own conclusions.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to say, whatever you say, whether it's the banner, whether you say it was free, whether you say thanks for hooking me up or whatever, that's why it's important, because the viewer needs to be able to know that so they can draw their own conclusions. Because I think most people who watch my reviews know, or at least think, yeah, he's down the line, because he tells the good and the bad, and he says that he's not going to be biased and all that sort of stuff. But there are plenty of people who will watch it and they'll be like, no, you've been given it for free, therefore I'm not going to believe a word you say. And it's you, as a viewer, you need to be able to make your own mind up. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum.
Yeah,
that's why you need to know. So it doesn't matter how you tell the viewer, you got to tell the viewer somehow. What else? My personal opinion, if you can't give it your honest opinion on the product, that's what I don't like. Yeah. So I've never had anything, even Red Sea with this. This is an expensive tank, very expensive tank indeed. And all the lights and all that sort of stuff, a lot of money. They haven't asked me, can you make sure that you say X, Y, and Z, or we don't want you to say this.
I've never had anyone do that with me. I've never had anyone come to me and say, you need to say this, otherwise you can't have it. Have you had that?
I'm just trying to think. I don't think so.
Sometimes I will contact the company, and I'll say, can you tell me your key points about like your product? Because just in case they know something I might miss. Mm-hmm. For example, like let's say we're talking about like the Ecotec quiet drive thing. I don't know what a quiet drive is. So I can go, can you tell me what that is? So I can put that into the video, because that's like, that's an important piece of information. Otherwise I won't know. But no one has ever said to me, like, you have to do this or you have to say this. No, in fact, no one's ever said to me, I have to say only good things or and no bad things or anything. Because if they said that, I would take it.
There've been a couple of times when I've phoned companies up and I said, this thing you've sent me, I don't like it.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want me to make the video? And they say, no, don't worry about it. Send it back. Thanks for your time, that sort of thing. But I don't actually think I've ever been asked. I can't remember though. I've got a bad memory. And there might have been one company like years ago that said something, but I don't remember ever being asked. No one's ever lent on me.
Yeah, that's true. Les's tank sponsored by Reef Dog because he got some macros from you, didn't he?
There you go. Yeah. How are they doing, by the way, Les? They're really nice. Gary McConnell doesn't see any issue and trust your opinion. Yeah. The only thing is I don't like it when people there are sometimes people comment and they say, I bought this because of you.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a good thing. And that sounds like the sort of thing that I would go, oh, wicked. Occasionally I do think that, like the auto water changer refloat one.
Yeah.
That was not sponsored. I paid for that. I'd had it for years. And when people said, oh, I love this, I bought it, I'm like, yeah, because it's great. I've shared it with you. You found out about it. And it's brilliant. But I generally don't like it. If someone watches a review and they say, I bought this because of you, I think, I wasn't trying to persuade you to buy it.
Yeah.
If you know, I was trying to tell you the things you need to know to make your own decision. So I'm always like, I hope that they're just like, oh, great, I watched this video. Now I know the bad things. They don't bother me, so it's cool. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a weird like that though.
No, if I go onto YouTube to find out something about a product, I'm only interested in what it does. I don't really care about what the person thinks about it. So obviously, yeah. I bought a printer the other day, didn't I? I don't care what the person who's on the video tells me. Like, if they like, I only care what it does.
The thing is, so I bought a 3D printer as well, actually, and it was a Creality Ender 3, which is a really popular beginner one, and I watched a load of videos and they talked about it, and one of the things was the noise. And there was one video in particular, they said, oh, here's a clip of the fan noise, and it was quiet. And when I got it, it was like a bloody airplane taking off. It was so bad. I wrote to the maker and I was like, I think I might have a faulty one, is this right? And I posted on a forum on the Facebook group, and they were like, no, that's just what it's like. And so I felt like that video had been edited so he hadn't told me what it was like. So actually that pissed me off, because I was like, there's no way that was down the line.
Yeah, see that. So sound is a hard thing to show.
True.
On a video. And because it depends on what the setting of the person's like that was watching it on, if you see what I mean.
And people have different levels of hearing.
Yes.
And also some noises bother some people. Like Than from Tidal Gardens always says he's a noise psycho. So a tiny bit of noise would bother him, whereas other people are like, yeah, whatever. But anyway, more stuff on this. So James says, you've been paid in kind. You wanted a new tank and they can market through you. I would call it sponsorship, but you've been transparent in saying that you've had it for free. And that's so that's why people think it's paid. I think technically YouTube rules say if you've been given something, it should say paid promotion.
I don't know about that. Because if you've been given something, you have to say.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think you have to do the paid promotion thing. I think that's right, because they consider it payment in kind. Yeah. I just don't, because I think it's ambiguous. So I would prefer to say this was free, because then you know exactly. But any other opinions? And I'm happy to be challenged on this, by the way. It's not a sponsor, it's a free tank. All good. If you genuinely, and this is not just fishing for compliments, if you think that I'm doing something wrong, tell me, because it'd be good to know. But I think everybody's all good. I didn't see any. I might have missed some comments. It's so difficult to keep up with the comments. But
The only other part of my week in reefing, while you're reading the comments, it's not my week in reefing, really. It's actually my future week in reefing. I'm going to London Zoo tomorrow, and London Zoo have an aquarium there. And when I was there before, like a long time ago, it was actually a very, very good aquarium. I don't know if it's still the same, but I'm looking forward to that. I told Reef Doc this just before the live stream, and it's probably irrelevant. You'll find it boring, but London Zoo claims to be the world's first aquarium.
Yeah.
Because it was set up in 1852. Can you imagine what it would have been like back then?
Shit.
Yes. Yeah. There'd probably been a lot of dead things. And but the other aquarium, it's like a rival aquarium, which is Brighton Aquarium, also claims to be the world's first aquarium, even though
public
that was
aquarium.
First public. Well, I assume London Zoo was the first public aquarium.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, the first aquarium was probably some dickhead in his house.
Oh, that's true. That's true. If some, it would have been a Victorian person, probably.
Yeah, it was. So I did a video that was a load of random facts, and I looked it up, and it was there's this really old Victorian fish tank. It looks really weird.
Have you seen them where they've got the metal?
That's like really ornate.
Of them. I'm assuming that's how they were held together back then, because they didn't have silicon.
Oh, that's the point. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So according to the internet.
Yeah,
London Zoo was the first public aquarium. So Brighton Zoo are lying. You're lying.
Well, Brighton claimed to be the longest running aquarium, I think, or something like that. But okay. Yeah, I remember they had, when I was there last time, they had massive angelfish in an all SPS tank, like a Montipora. It was eating the Montipora. like properly going for it. Okay. But there was so much of it, it wasn't even making a dent. Yeah. So I wonder if it will be like that. I was a bit disappointed when I went to the London Aquarium the other day, just because I was like,
Aptasia everywhere, and
yeah, and it's not just that. It's like it wasn't really anything special. I think they sort of focused on the sharks and stuff like that, but they didn't really like. There was like one reef tank there, and it was like 50%. What was it? Hollywood Stunner. So it's like this 12-foot reef tank with like this massive, massive piece of Hollywood Stunner. I was just like, I don't think they've done it the best they could do it.
But it's funny though, because normal people, not like nerds like us, they say that, like, oh, that looks amazing. I remember when I was looking into, before I started a saltwater tank, and I was like, I'm going to do it. I need to research it. There were Charterhouse Aquatics used to be in Haggerston in London, and they were in this rail arch. It looked amazing, really cool building, and they had a few display tanks, and I took a photo of the display tank that I was like, that is what I want. And it was just two rock islands covered in zoas, and not like nice, just crap like Vietnam zoas, boring, bland ones. And to me at the time, I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. So when you go into London, Brighton, London Aquarium, whatever, as a normal person, not like a professional coral farmer, you're like, wow, look at the big coral there, it's huge and it's green.
However, when I went to Sydney Aquarium, which is run by the same people, they're both the Sea Life Centre, Sydney Aquarium was an exception. When I went, probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, that was a very good aquarium. But the best aquarium I've ever been to, and if you ever go to Singapore, like, it blows your mind, the Singapore Aquarium is amazing. It was literally so good. I would go back to Singapore, literally just go to the aquarium again.
Really? Singapore's that place with the big boat on stilts, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's quite small. The aquarium's not far from anything, I don't think. But I remember when I went there, they had like everything from clarion angels and black tangs and gem tangs and everything you could possibly imagine, while also having like those massive sharks. Do they have whale sharks there?
Yeah.
I don't remember there being whale sharks there.
Well, hang on. Sea Aquarium Singapore, maybe. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it looks good. Cool. Size them groupers as well, by the way.
Yeah, like,
imagine that in with a bunch of chromis.
You cannot believe how big that glass panel is. You know how you can see those people there? That's nothing like what it is.
Yeah,
it's like going to the cinema and the entire wall of like an IMAX screen, like, is the tank. It is unbelievable when you go there. Yeah, see, Jay's been there.
Singapore, yeah, I'd like to go. It's a very small place though. You could do it in a weekend, basically, I think.
So
Wikipedia, by the way, I've looked this up.
Yeah.
The first public aquarium was opened in London Zoo in May 1853.
Okay, yeah.
According to Wikipedia. And Brighton opened in 1872, so 19 years later. But I think Brighton claimed to be the longest continuously running, you said, because London Zoo
closed for a period or something. Yeah, maybe what it is.
Probably so during the war.
They try to like sneak in.
Yeah, there was someone asked if in the chat if you can still get tickets for Love to Reef. I don't know. But ping Fish Palace on Instagram, a message on and ask him if he's still got tickets. I suspect so.
And then let me know, because I'm thinking about going as well at the moment. Cool.
You've got to send him a message on it. So there's a website, loftareef.com.
Yeah.
I've not been on it for a while, so I don't know what the latest is. You can't buy tickets on there, yeah. But that will give you info. But ping him a message or comment on one of his photos or something.
It's in May, isn't it?
I can't remember. So I'm going to see Ocean Colour Scene. So whenever Ocean Colour Scene, you toxeter. Oh, Ryan, for heaven's sake.
Is that a band?
Yeah. So it's the same, whatever date this is. 18th of May is that date.
I want to go and meet Jay. That's the reason I want to go. Because I want to go and I want to ask him for a picture and his autograph because he's famous.
Yeah.
So, and I've heard he's going to be there. So that's the main reason I want to go.
There you go.
Les asked if I'm open on Sunday. I'm open like in the evenings. I'm open on I'm basically open all the time as long as I have a message. As long as you message me, so just
send me a message. I message you and said, and not me, but anybody said, you know, midnight on a Saturday.
I kid you not. Some people will message me at 8:30 and they'll go, "Can I come in half an hour?" I'm like,
"Yeah."
Well, I'm gonna have to turn the lights back on. But if you want to come, then come.
Yeah, okay.
What time do your lights go off? You on the farm usually 9 o'clock, I think.
What time do they come on? 9.
Yeah, probably something like that. But yeah, it doesn't matter to me because I've got a choice. Either I say yes and the person comes in, as long as it's clean. Like if the tanks are a bit dirty, I'll go, "Look, I haven't cleaned it, but if you want to come, you can come. That's fine." I've got a choice. Either I'm sitting watching TV or I'm earning money. I'd rather be earning money.
This is true.
And I'm talking about fish as well, so why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Who doesn't like that? Yeah. And there are still tickets for Love to Reef, so... ping what's his name, Fish Palace on Instagram, and
Jay's just offered me his autograph as well. There you go.
Or does he get a selfie as well?
He didn't offer it to me. Well, you're gonna have to like work out what your autograph is by the time I get there. But as I said, I need to check my very, very busy calendar. Okay. But I would like to go, if I'm honest, because it's like These events are quite special when you get loads and loads of like-minded fish weirdos together. It's nice. It's nice because every person in that room will come from all different backgrounds and everything, but they all are connected by one thing, that they have this real passion for the hobby. So that's what it was like at Macna and the other places.
So this is the website, how to buy tickets, loveto reef@gmail.com, Instagram love2_reef. Ultimate Reef, there's a thread, and then you can buy them at AAC. And this, they've also got a load of vendors lined up for a small show, because I think there's likely to be, I can't remember, it was less than 500 people, a couple hundred, I think. I can't remember what it was. But for a small show, they've got a good lineup. AAC will be there because it's the place. NIOS, Ecotech, Red Sea, TMC, EK Marines, Collective Corals, which is a coral vendor, BC UK, which I think is Maxpect, Coral Essentials, Chez Art. There's like Fauna Marin, CJ.
Jay's Real Reef is handing out signed photographs of himself.
Signed T-shirts with his face on the T-shirts.
Yeah.
ITC, Aquaprint, they're good 3D printing company. Salifer, they'll all be under the same. But there's loads there. For a small show, that's pretty good going.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be interested to know how many people go, but I think last time it was over 100 people. That's plenty of people.
I can't remember. I watched the live stream. They talked about it a month or so ago. And I think he was going to go for double the people I had last time. And my in my head, I've got there's like 250 tickets.
Yeah.
So I think it was that kind of level, but I can't. It might be double that. It might be half that.
Well, I know three or four people that said to me, "If you're going, Ryan, I'll go." And I was like, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
So I think it's about 2.5 hours from me, I think. But as I say, it's
really?
I think it's that far, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe
I suppose it's up and around the M25, isn't it? It's not that far from me, but it's a pain. Getting there is just... I would have gone if I was around, but the journey's horrible. It's on the M25, I hate M25.
Yeah. I just think you don't get these things very often where you have the chance to meet loads of people that are the same as you. So
no. Hour and a half for you.
Oh, is it? Is that all it is?
That if you were to go now.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, no, I don't think it's an hour and a half. If I were to go now, I think I'd be there a bit early.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take a tent.
But anyway, anything from your week in reefing? I've got a couple of other bits.
Nope, I think that's it for me. And I'll be able to give you the update on my review of London Aquarium next week.
Yeah.
Not London Aquarium, London Zoo Aquarium.
Yeah, okay, good. So is there London Zoo? Have they got like lions and stuff?
They got tigers there. To be fair, I haven't even looked at what it is. I just thought, where is it? One of my friends. So,
London. Where is it?
It's in London. It's in Hyde Park, isn't it?
But London's massive. Well, in Hyde Park, right.
Okay. Is it Hyde Park? It's in one of, or is it Regent Park? It's in one of the big parks.
One of the parks. Okay. Yeah. Fine.
It's a place where you can hear like tigers growling, you know, while you're playing frisbee in the park.
Yeah. So, okay.
One of those places.
Comes and bites your arm. Yeah. All right. Bloody
I think
tiger.
It's Regent Park, I think.
Okay.
But
oh yeah, okay.
If it's not, I'm not going to get there, am I?
Well, you're useless with London as well, so.
True. No, I'm being. She's picking me up from Victoria.
Of course.
Because there you are. Yeah, I get babysat if I go to London.
Yeah, I get a guide.
She's going to pick me up from there.
Very good. I bought one of your favourite rasses yesterday, Ryan.
Melanaris.
No, oh, God no. What's your mouth?
Oh, possum ras.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. There's a couple that look the same.
Which type?
I don't know. Is it wet morella or I don't know, it's that kind of ras?
Is it a gold band with two like gold bands on it?
Can I see him? Hang on. I can't see him. I didn't have a really close look at his colorings. So I don't. But there are two or three that look the same. I couldn't tell which one it is.
Are you telling me that you bought a fish that you don't know the name of?
Yeah.
And you don't know what the color of it is?
I know what color it is. I can see it, but.
Okay,
I went in and I said, have you got any wet morella brass or possum brass, whatever, I can't remember why I said, and because I couldn't see any, and they were hiding because they hide.
Yeah.
And I wanted the smallest one, basically.
So. I really like those. I've only ever had the gold band ones, and I've always wanted the other ones, but I've just never like got one for some reason. I should try and find the other. The other one's got like white. The white bands go all over it.
So the guy in the shop is Bruce at Reef Keeper. Hi, Bruce. He said that the one that it's not has got a band through its eye. It's not that one.
So the other one. But they've both sort of got bands through their eyes. One of them's got white bands. One of them's got gold bands, basically.
Anyway, I bought one of those.
I need to know this.
It doesn't matter. I bought one of those. And I think apparently it's not a Tanaka's because the Tanaka's are a bit more uncommon.
What? Can you just read James's comment?
James, he doesn't want to say what colour it is because he sees grey fish. Get out. Les, ban him. I'm not bloody colourblind. It's grey. It's grey. Yeah.
Look at the one that's just come in as well.
Oh, God.
I have no idea where this came from.
That's what you know full well where it came from. And people believed it because you said it. Anyway, it's grey. And whatever. So I bought it because I saw the other day, it's in the Cade. And the Cade, I don't buy many corals for that, but I noticed the other day on the glass there, and I can't remember the last time I bought corals, probably a good few months ago, but there are a couple of tiny little flatworms on the glass. And I was like, oh God, I bet they're on my torch corals.
Yeah, possibly.
If I had to guess, because a couple of them aren't looking 100%.
Yeah.
But Reef Talk is fish racist.
I know, I read that at first and I was like, what does that even mean? Then I saw it was from Les. I'm like, oh, Les is cool. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've got a couple of tiny little flatworms, which is annoying. So I bought one of those. I don't actually think it's going to be a problem. There's no acros in there, so it's not like they're acro eating flatworms or whatever. Yeah. I just thought, well, you know, it's an excuse to get... I've only got two clownfish in there, so excuse to get a third fish is good.
There's a few different types of flatworms which actually don't really bother corals. I remember Jake Adams was saying this, like he took out some of the euphilia, and when he was dipping them, it was unbelievable how much stuff was coming off of them, but the corals seem to be mostly fine from it. And there are some which obviously do damage corals, but there are definitely some which just sit on the corals and it's not as bad.
I bought a frag of Parietes from a shop once. I didn't notice. It was an inch across or whatever, nicely based out. Didn't notice until I got it back home or the next day. It was covered in grey flatworms, completely covered. But and then I went back into the shop and I noticed that all they had like 10 frags of the same one, and they were all covered in the flatworms.
Yeah.
But I looked at all the other corals and they weren't on any other coral. It was just that Parietes.
What colour was the flatworms?
They were grey, right?
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
But they weren't on any other corals. And so I left that coral just on its own because the coral was fine. It was healthy.
Yeah.
I left it for a couple of weeks and I bought a mandarin or dragonet of some kind, whatever it was, because I was like, well, maybe they'll eat it, probably not, but it's an excuse to buy Mandu.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't touch him. But I was like, but I was like, let's just leave it and see what happens. And nothing happened at all. And eventually I was like, you know what? Take it out, dip it, and it killed all the flatworms, and then put it back in. It was fine.
Yeah.
But it was covered in them. It was weird because when you first see it, you didn't notice them. So there's obviously lots of green there, but it was covered in them and they did no harm whatsoever. And if it got to the point where they were literally completely covered, it wouldn't get any light and that would be a problem. But it didn't seem to be bothering them.
Yeah, so. I think there's some things where people, don't get wrong, there are some which are absolutely will just wipe things out, but not all of them, if you see what I mean.
Acro flatworms and the big polyclad flatworms. Yes. I bought a frag. It was in my last house, how long ago it was. They had this massive, it was like a flat slug. It was huge. Yeah,
that's the polyclad one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that came off in a dip and I was like, it was massive.
I remember in my 1,000-liter tank finding one of those in the weir box once. And I was like, I think these eat clams. I don't have any clams. I've never had any clams. So what was it eating? And nothing seemed to be dying. So I wonder if they're one of those things that have a reputation for being really, really bad. But
because some are like, some probably are really bad and others are not that bad. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. See, but I didn't find it bad, but someone might go, this is the worst flatworm you can get. But in my experience, I didn't have an issue with the polyclad ones. And they don't multiply like the other ones do.
Right.
They're normally like one massive one.
There were loads. They were tiny, like almost. They looked like not copepods. Copepods. Sorry.
No, I'm talking about the polyclad one, the big one.
These ones were minute. You almost didn't see them. But I don't. And I'm not going to use flatworm exit or whatever because that's a potential risk of because they release toxins, don't they? Some of them, I don't know if they will do, but I just don't want to risk it. And it seems okay, but anyway. I just thought I'd let you know on that. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and on the water box.
Yeah.
Because I removed my one-spot fox face as punishment for eating my scully.
Yeah.
I've got algae growing. So the rocks are absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But one of the power cables for my Nero 5 has got just like brown, long green hair algae, but it's brown, flowing off it. And I've got a couple of bits of ulva. That have picked up behind some of the power heads as well, that obviously the fox face was eating and now he's gone. It's like, hey, I can grow again.
What you should do, you should get another fox face.
I will. Well, that tank,
I was joking, but
that rockscape is going in the Red Sea
in
probably 2 months' time. But
Well, you'll have your other fox face back by then.
Yeah, my rabbit. Yeah, I love it.
Although we're going to petition. Before they go, I'm going to do a petition with them to see if they want to come home. And if they don't want to come home, then I'm sorry, but I'm just going to change the locks so you can't get in.
You can buy them off me, but because they're celebrity fish, they're very expensive.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, what else was I going to say? I think that's everything. Anything else from you in your week in reefing?
Nope. I'd say it's just been relatively normal week in reefing for me. Just nothing particularly exciting. Just customers. Nothing going on with the water box. The rocks are still in the same position they were from when I took them all down. I've ordered this is very unexciting, but I have ordered a paint scraper for the water box tank because I find, and I've always found this, magnets scratch the glass of tanks. And there are a couple of small, like little, probably like half inch or inch ones scratches. You can barely see them. Whereas before with my 1,000-liter tank, I always had a paint scraper. I never, ever, ever use a magnetic one because on the very first day of getting that tank, I used a magnetic one and it put a foot-long scratch in it. So I'm going back to my roots and I'm just going to do it by hand once a week.
Oh, but then you've got to take the lid off and you get your hand wet.
Don't care.
With an algae scraper, I do it twice a week. Sometimes I slack off, but... Yeah. Do you do it because you did it before, like all the time?
So it's weird. Even in the coral farm, the algae grows in the glass at very different rates on all the tanks. So the 1,000-liter tank that I used to have, I only had to do that once a week and that was fine. It had very, very low nutrients. I now look back and I was like, wow, I was definitely overdosing Raphos. And my corals had that like pastel-y look to them. And I didn't know at the time that was what I was doing. But I was basically stripped, because if you look at the picture on my website of the pink Hystrix, don't do it now, but next time you're on it, have a look. It's like really, really, really pink. Well, I've got that same coral now in the coral farm, and it's nowhere near as pink as that because the nutrients aren't completely stripped out. Oh, okay. So you can get it that pink if you like starve it to within like an inch of its life.
That's funny.
But it's the same coral.
Yeah.
So corals, and also on the way in the coral farm, it's a much darker pink, and it actually has blue polyps, whereas on that it looks like it's pink with pink polyps. So I need to update that picture.
There are a few different types of Hystrix, though, aren't there?
Yeah, I know, but that literally has come from there to here.
Right, okay.
I haven't got different ones.
Yeah, okay. Well, in which case we can move on to... Oh, actually, no, sorry, algae scrapers. So I broke my Peninsula 500 down recently.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I use a Tunzi Care Magnet Long, I think, on that one.
Yeah, that's why I've got on the water box.
Yeah, so I'd been using that for at least five or six years, the whole time the tank was set up, I think, from memory.
Yeah.
And I had one scratch that was about an inch long, deep enough to be like you'd notice it. You never noticed it until suddenly if I told you where it was, then you see it. Yeah. But when I broke it down completely and I drained it and I cleaned it, I sort of semi-cleaned it anyway, it wasn't like covered. Sometimes you'll drain a tank and it's covered in scratches on the inside that for whatever reason you don't see refraction or whatever, you don't see when it's full of water. This wasn't. It didn't really have, I didn't look really closely, but I took photos because I was selling it. And it didn't really have any scratches, that one, but apart from that, it didn't. My water box has got two big, probably 2-3 inch long scratches next to each other. And I bet that's the same algae magnet. I bet that's where a bit of sand or something got stuck, or gravel.
No sand in that tank, have you?
No, but there's detritus at the bottom, like bits of rock break off or whatever. So, but the thing is, when I did that scratch, I saw it one day, I was like, where'd that come from? Because it's not like I was scraping it one day and you hear a or you feel it.
Yeah.
So I got no idea. It must have been the algae scraper. There's no other explanation. But I couldn't tell. It wasn't like I didn't know it had happened.
Well, because it happened so bad for obviously that 1,000 lead tank, and because it was so raw, because it was like literally the first day pretty much. And I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating. It was a foot long. It was like I'd done this and it just went. And after that, I was like, so now I look at this tank and I go, no, I'll just clean it by hand. Because eventually that could happen again. And I don't want it to happen again. Because once it's done, it's done. It's too late. So that's why I'd rather clean it by hand. But we shall see.
Fair enough. All right.
With that Tunzi Care Magnet, just so you know, it has two sides to it, doesn't it? A long side and a short side. Mm-hmm. Take the short side off. Buy another long side for like, they're like £8. So when because normally you go, you have to do it a few times to get rid of it. Yeah. Whereas if you have them both blades on both sides, it does it so much easier.
Do you think that might be why you scratched it?
No, because I literally just got, I've only just done that.
Yeah. No, I like that. I've not thought of that. But the Tunzi algae magnet for me is, that's the best. I have I have the flipper on the Cade, bought both of them, by the way. And the Tunzi is just so good. The flipper is decent, but for that, when you come back from like a 2-week break or whatever, and there's hard algae on there, the flipper takes ages to get off, whereas the Tunzi, it's like straight away.
Yeah.
Slight exaggeration, but anyway.
Tank scraper, however.
Not in
one go.
Yeah, but then you wet on your t-shirt wet and I used to enjoy
doing that actually. I don't know why I used to, because you can get every little bit, all in the sand and everything, and you don't have to worry, and you make it look pristine. And then it gradually over the course of a week, it gets shitter and shitter, and then you make it look pristine again.
Yeah, it looks so good when you clean a tank, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The one last thing actually on the Red Sea tank, I've not seen this on my tank, but I'm aware they've got it. They've got armoured seams. So on the inside of the silicon, there's a bit of plastic or something that guards it. So you don't have to worry about the algae scraper flashing away the silicon. I don't actually know if that's an issue, because I was... pretty careful. I'm pretty careful with my tanks, but there are times when I'm like bash, 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 because you just want to get because the algae builds up on that bit. And I had that tank for 6 years, and it didn't ever cause a problem, and the silicon looked in pretty good condition. Yeah. But I do wonder.
You're saying this now after you've just sold it to someone.
No, well, I mean, it's long gone. I mean, I don't think that's a problem. But I was always paranoid about it. So now there's a bit of armoring there. I can just go bash, 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 and it doesn't matter.
Do you know what absolutely does affect the seams? Urchins. 100%. They go around eating. So I don't know if it's because there's like a really thin, like, you know how there's like a thick bit and then it goes thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner right to the edges.
Yeah.
Well, the very edges of the thinnest bit that's almost translucent, you can see the urchins have gone through and eaten it. So, yeah, definitely.
They must be eating algae off the silicon. So I've had urchins I've got them in all my tanks. I love them.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that.
100, they're like literally 100%, they definitely do. Because I put like 7 in there, didn't I, once? Oh, so I noticed it like properly.
The only time I noticed, excuse me, sorry, I've tied today. The only time I noticed, I put a hermit crab in my sump. Because a few people had said, hey, did you know crabs eat detritus? I was like the dust that settles in your sump. Yeah, I was like, no way, that can't be true. But I was like, well, I'm going to try it. It's not true. Of course it's not true, because it's just like rubble. But anyway.
Yeah. It's not unusual for me to put a hermit crab in the sump, just because if any like food settled in there, something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, so there was this one, I noticed one day there was this one, like a divot, like a little dent in the silicon.
Yeah.
And the hermit crab was sat on it, like pulling food out of it. And I was like, was that there before? So I was like, well, you're going back in the tank, mate. So
I'd be surprised if a hermit crab was strong
exactly,
enough.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. But still, when I was like, oh God, what if? Yeah. We can move on to what's it called?
News?
Member questions.
Fish of the week.
Not yet. Member questions. The first of which is from The Crusade, who says, what upscaled equipment are you looking to get now you've joined the 6-foot club? So presumably he has a 6-foot tank. And you have a 6-foot tank as well, Ryan.
True.
6 foot's good. So I bought a skimmer. I bought a Bubble King skimmer it's weird. It's one of those things, I've always wanted a Bubble King skimmer.
Yeah.
Don't really know why, because it's just a skimmer at the end of the day.
Oh, so you're not using the Red Sea skimmer? Because I assume that's what you were using. Oh,
no, cool. So they said I could take basically anything I want.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll have the lights. And my first reaction was kind of like the Kessels. And then I was like, well, they do the same shimmer. But anyway. Yeah. So I had the lights. I was up for that. But I've got a return pump that I like anyway. The refactor one, I think, is based on a Jekod. I like Jekod. I bought a skimmer because I want a Bubble King skimmer. I don't really know why, because it's expensive. It's just a skimmer at the end of the day, but I just want one. So I've got that. And what else? I've kept my Nios torque reactor, phosphate reactor, because it's brilliant. I keep meaning to do a long-term review on that. It's so good. Yeah. So much better than, because all the other ones I've had before, they're difficult to take apart, or they've got the Rurfos crunches when you're screwing it back in. Yeah, it's just brilliant. I love it. So I've got that. I don't think and then the power head. So I've got MP40s, four MP40s. They won't need to be running at 100% like they were in my other tank, but I'm going to replace all of the wet sides with new wet sides.
Okay.
Because they're like 5-6 years old, so they might as well. And then I think that's about it. I've got to buy new heaters. So I had my old Shago heaters. They were 6 years old. I didn't ever replace them. I don't think that's necessary. But I've thrown them away. 6 years, you might as well. But the Shago, you can't buy Shago heaters, titanium heaters in it over in the UK anymore. You used to. But now they're DD. And I don't know if DD just rebadged Shago. But I've seen a couple of people on Ultimate Reef posts and say they bought a DD heater, titanium heater, and it failed.
Yeah.
And that makes me go, oh. Is that just a couple of people, or is that a systematic issue? And so I was looking at heaters today. Do you know what one stood out at the top?
The one with the Wi-Fi, contactless.
The contactless one I spent 2 hours like on. Because it's CJ, it's got a 5-year warranty.
You're not seriously buying it, are you?
I might. Because all I want from a heater...
It doesn't matter to me. It's only funny because...
I know. But I don't care. Like, the contactless, I just don't care about it. I would rather it didn't have it, and it would rather be simple. But it's got a 5-year warranty, which probably means it's reliable. And Ceci have got a reputation for Italian build quality, good build quality.
Yeah.
So I was looking at that or the Eheim ones. The Eheim one's really long. They're like half a meter long or something crazy. But I've not made my mind up yet. But I'll need to get new heaters apart, and then I'll buy the AI blades, of course, the 6-foot ones. But I don't think any other new equipment. Not going to be much equipment in the tank, to be fair.
You've just reminded me something. So even though, obviously, the tank was free and it was the same for me, it's still so expensive to set up a tank when you add in all the other things that you have to get done to do it. Like, it doesn't feel like it's free, because you probably spent 2 grand, I reckon. Like, make, yeah. like well, £500, that is moving into the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The skimmer was a grand.
Yeah, so there's $1,500 already, if you see what I
but
mean.
But then I think I probably, if I'd have bought the tank, I wouldn't be spending $1,000 on a skimmer.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So because I've got the free cash, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the upscale equipment I'm getting. I don't think anything else, nothing else that I can think of. Excuse me. And Gary McConnell says, which AI blades? I'm going for the Grow, the ones with the white spectrum, the same as these are the Grows. I don't like the Glows. They've got a really purpley kind of violet-y spectrum. I like these. And they've got the same number of 450 nanometer diodes in the Grow or the Glow, which are the ones I really want for the fluorescence. So it doesn't really matter. And yeah. I prefer those ones. Edward says, with Hydros, this is in the news. So he's spoilers coming. with Hydros coming out with the Maven, their auto testing unit got me thinking. Money aside, is there a minimum tank size before you go all in on every piece of tech? I'm managing my 75 gallon fairly well with Hanna checkers, and I'm out of room in the cabinet, but new tech is hard to resist. Tell me about it. Tank size, I don't think really comes into it, because actually I'm currently on my water box, which is only 120 liters after displacement, I bet 150 max, no way it's more than that. I've got a KH keeper and I've got a smart tester testing phosphate. So size I don't think really matters. It's more for me, it's about, can you afford the automatic testing equipment? If you can't, don't buy it, full stop. But also, how much money have you invested in the tank? And how lazy are you?
That's the one for me. I was waiting for you to say that. That's my one.
You don't need any of that tech at all for any tank. You could have a spectacular, Andrew Sandler could have his tank with no automation whatsoever, apart from, you know, auto top off web. You know, so you don't need equipment on any of that tech. But if you can afford it, and I think if you're lazy enough and if you've spent enough money, it's worth having. But
yeah. Yeah. I have nothing to add to that because I agree. You except agree. As I said, I'm lazy. So
yeah, that's the thing. But you got to calibrate it, as I found out with my alkalinity. Oh, my alkalinity is down to 10, by the way, now.
Oh, nice.
Still high. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Rich's Reef is the final question. He says, do alkalinity swings kill coral, or do struggling corals stop uptaking alk, resulting in a swing when dosing it? Cause or effect, or perhaps a bit of both? So there's alk swings killing corals is a discussion. Some people will say, yeah, it does. Other people say, no, it doesn't. Yeah. And, you know, there's probably shades of gray in between. My take on it is I had an alkalinity swing wipe out an established acro colony when I sold a load of corals. And I think that was the only thing that I tested that swung significantly. That doesn't mean it was anything that did something. It might, my pH might have swung and I didn't notice. So it might not have been that. I think that alkalinity swings do kill corals, and that it might not be that it's that kills corals. It might be that they were unhealthy for something else. There was something else going on and that finished them off. But I think at the very least, alkalinity swings, corals don't like alkalinity.
Yeah, I was just saying, they don't like it.
Exactly. And he said, and do struggling corals stop uptaking alk, resulting in a swing? Kind of, but corals don't just like suddenly decide they're sulking and stop uptaking out. It's a slow process.
Yeah,
so that doesn't cause a swing as such.
Yeah, and so if one coral struggling, it would have to be of the coral struggling. And or if all the corals are struggling, you've got something fundamentally wrong with something in your tank.
Yeah,
but so yeah,
I hope that helps. And I'll just refresh to make sure there are no new comments. There are not. So that is member questions, which means we're on to the Prestige Reef. Oh, bollards. I meant to get you to email me that picture.
What picture?
Picture of the coral.
Oh, the coral.
What's... Yeah.
We can do it in real time. Right, so the fish of the week is... very slow. So the fish of the week I'm going for is a Springer's damsel. The reason I've gone for a Springer's damsel is because... I like fish that do stuff, and Springer's damsels eat flatworms. So if you had a problem with flat, you could have got a Springer's damsel instead of...
That's true. By reputation, these are the least aggressive damsels.
Yes, but you also have to keep them on their own, I believe. So people don't...
What do you mean? Like, as in just only one or...
Yeah. So I have one in every tank. Just like the same as I have a cop band in every tank and I have a zebrazoma in every tank. But I don't know how aggressive they are with each other.
I had three of these in my water box.
Yeah.
But the mistake I made, the first day I bought one and I was like, I just want one. That's same as you. That was my thinking.
Yeah.
And that, but when I bought it, the guy in the shop was like, oh, well, no one's ever bought one. They always buy a group.
And
I went away and I was like, oh, okay. And obviously, like, people talk about keeping these in groups. I've seen loads of people in groups. But the fact that he said, no one's ever bought one, I was like, oh, right. That's weird. Maybe I should buy more. So I bought another two a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
But the two that I bought separately were best mates.
Yeah.
The one I'd bought before, they didn't like him. So they were like, no, we don't like you. And they were probably in the same tank before in the shop.
Yeah.
But they were over separate sides of the tank. So two would hang around together. The other was the other corner. And one of them jumped. One of them jumped out of the tank in the end because he was being bullied.
Yeah.
So I think you can keep groups together. I found that they tended to peck at each other and they'd chase each other. But like tiger barbs, if you ever kept tiger barbs in freshwater, no. But they chased each other, but they didn't really seem to do any harm. It's only because I introduced two separately that they really didn't like them. But my impression is they'll bicker most of the day.
Yeah.
Amongst themselves, but they're all right. They're not like Chromis where they'll kill each other.
Yeah, because some of them really will like properly go for each other.
Yeah.
I almost bought a group of humbug damsels once just because
they look so cool.
They do look cool, and they've even got that little like that weird shape to them where they don't look like a normal. It's not like a normal Chromis fish shape.
Like an arrowhead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and I remember being at the fish shop, and the owner just went, do not buy these. I was like, I'd like to have four of those, please, or five of those. He's like, do not buy them. I'm like, why do you have them?
Yeah, it's a good question.
He obviously sells them to some people, but because he's like, I developed a friendship with him by that point, and he was like, no, do not get these.
Not selling to you.
Yeah.
No, I wanted, I can't remember if it was them or Domino Damsel, because they looked similar, black and white, basically.
Yeah.
But there was one of those when I started the hobby, I was desperate for them because they just looked so cool.
But, it's funny because I'm exactly the same as that, where when people come to the coral farm, and if they want to buy Xenia, I say, how big is your tank? If they go, it's like 3 foot, I'm like, you don't get Xenia. You can buy it from somewhere else, but you cannot buy it from me.
I've got Xenia in my Reef Casa, 10 gallon.
No, I know, that's fine. If it takes over in that tank, it's not going to be a problem. But if you've got a 3 foot tank or a 4 or 5 foot tank and you put it in there, the chance is going to be like it will become a problem at some point. And usually people come back and they go, oh, yeah, thanks for telling me not to get it.
Okay.
So, because as I said before, I want people to come back every single weekend or as often as they want. And if they're not happy with their tank, they don't come back.
The Xenia in my Reef Casa isn't really, I wouldn't say it's struggling, but it's not growing. And most of the other corals are growing. It's still early days. The tank's only less than 6 months old. And you don't tend to get growth that much early on. But all of the other corals, I've got no idea. That's the trouble. I tested it. I tested it when I made one of the videos because I wanted to make sure everything was all right.
Yeah.
That was the last time I tested it. Because this is, to me, there's got to be a low maintenance. And I wanted it. I was trying to do a water change this weekend, but I ran out of time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And that's the thing. It's like it could be low. It could be high. Who knows?
You're one of those people. So when you say you test every week, you test some of your tanks every week.
The good tanks. But the whole point of that tank is if I had to test it every week and do a water change every week, it's not happening. I have not got the time.
Yeah. Have you got all the time? You haven't got the desire. Be honest. Because if you had to find time, you would do it. It's the desire. With having three tanks, you lose the desire of one of them.
But I'll concede it's partly the desire, but it's also the time, because I've got a full-time job, I've got a wife, I've got this YouTube channel. I've got two other YouTube channels, and I've got two other tanks as well. So it is, and to be fair, it's not like I have no time where I could go and do it. I could.
Yeah.
But when you've got all that stuff going on, the amount of time that you've got that you want to devote to that sort of stuff is diminished.
I wonder what will happen when the new tank goes in, because
one
of those four tanks, if not two of those four tanks, because you're getting rid of the water box, aren't you?
The water box is going because
you're gonna have two tanks then.
Exactly, that's gonna be transferred to the Red Sea, so that's definitely going. The Cade is almost certainly staying. The Reef Casa probably gonna go, I suspect.
Yeah,
I can't, given that it's so easy maintenance, I'm tempted to keep it. I do like it, but I want to see it grow out. But
is it currently covered in algae, the glass?
No. I'd say the algae doesn't really grow, and I scrape it off occasionally. I've got a little nano flipper. But it looks good. It's not like there's no nothing. No, there's no pests in there. It looks nice. No algae.
That's the perfect tank, the one you'd have to look after.
but wind forward 6 months, given I'm not doing water changes.
Yeah,
it'll probably look occasionally. I meant to do a big one this weekend, like 50. But if wind forward 6 months, it'll look a state. I bet, or maybe it won't. But
has it got a link, that tank?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because the one thing I've noticed massively, like unbelievably, with the quarantine tank that's got a lid, I never have to put any RO water in it. I think I've topped it up.
Oh, a proper lid,
like,
I see.
Yeah, this is like a proper, like...
The reef cast got a mesh cover, yeah.
So. Oh, no, this is a proper lid, yeah. I think I've put RO water in it maybe 3 times in almost 30 days, whereas normally on the other tanks, it's like every...
Goes
some of
hours,
yeah.
So,
yeah,
no, I don't know. And I've got on that one, I've got the Tunzi ATA, the first gen Tunzi ATA, so it's really noisy. And it's in the room behind my living room. And every now and then I can just hear this, it's like, oh, what do you think?
Yeah,
but that's kind of, I don't really care about the noise, to be fair. But yeah, so that's the fish of the week.
And the cor of the week is an underappreciated Montipora. So I decided to go for the Mean Streak Montipora. There are, I think, 4 different types of grafted Montipora, possibly 5. Two of them are different shades of green. And then you've got one that's green and red with yellow dots on. This one is actually one of my favorite ones. But compared to the other ones, I probably sell 5 times as many of the normal grafted Montipora to every 1 piece of this. And I don't know why, because I think because it's rarer. I think they're similar prices, and you don't see it very often.
Is that purple?
Yeah.
Don't say it's grey.
No, it's definitely purple. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had one of these. I can't remember if I got it from you.
I think I sent it to you, one of the mystery
boxes. Yes, it was a mystery pack. Yeah. It's really nice. And I didn't want it because it's a Monty, and Monty in that tank in particular.
Yeah.
Monty's double in size every 5 minutes. Ridiculous. Yeah. And even on that, I just had it on the frag rack and it encrusted onto the bloody frag rack.
It grows fast.
I didn't have it like, it grows so quick. So I didn't want it, but I was tempted to put it on the scape actually. Because it's so nice.
The reason I picked that as well is because, do you remember, you might not have been around at this point, when people were putting 2 pieces of Montipora together.
Yeah.
Trying to graft them. And then we now know that grafted Montipora is not 2 pieces of Montipora put together. It's actually a fluorescent protein virus. So all the people claiming, like years ago, saying that they had done it, were lying. Because look, there's a possibility that maybe it happened to one person.
Yeah.
But every single time I ever tried it, or other people that I knew tried it, one grew over the other.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes. But because that is... People were pretending that they were grafting it themselves, but that isn't how it works. It literally is a virus which causes the green or the purple.
It might be that the virus spread to the coral next to it. More of a coincidence than anything else. But...
The virus does spread around the tank. It's interesting. It definitely goes from one coral to the other. Only I certain corals.
On my Tropic Thunder, I had that. It looked, you know, like some corals are just described as bleeding because it looks like there's green dripping across them.
Yeah.
I think that's the fluorescent protein infection or whatever. I had that on my Tropic Thunder on some patches. It looked like it looked really cool. But
yeah. Can everyone stop saying Alex is colorblind? Because it makes him very, very mad. So,
right,
and I don't know where this rumor came from.
You do know where it came from.
I have no idea where this rumor came from. I do not condone it.
Anyway, so that's the fish and cor of the week.
Yeah.
And that means we are... Oh, anything else to tell us about Mean Streak, Monty?
Not really, if I'm honest.
It's quite cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, well... I think it's between £20 and £30, so it's not like an expensive piece.
The grafted Monty's used to be like £200 when they...
I know. My first piece of grafted Montipora came from...
the Yacht?
It was somewhere in like
Holland.
Where was it? I can't remember. I did a video on it, but yeah, it cost £200 for a piece of it. £200. But I knew that if I got it, I could frag it, I could grow it, I could sell it. And I remember the first pieces of that I was selling, like when I grew it, I was selling them for £150 a piece. So obviously it paid for, it was worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now they come down, they're like £20 a piece. So
there you go. Nice coral, to be fair.
Unless someone came this weekend and they got a piece that was about the size of their hand for like yeah, 20 quid, I think.
And that brings us on to the news. Yeah.
Did you just yawn while that was playing?
Oh, massive. I'm so tired.
You did, didn't you?
I was on my motorbike for most of yesterday, and it's quite tiring when you're on the bike. But
yeah.
I don't know why I'm so tired today, but I yawn at the best times anyway. So slim pickings in the news. So at the moment, I don't know if Jeremy Gay's on holiday or something, but Reefbuilders is, there's loads of guest writers articles, but there's not much news going up there. And so I struggle because that's where I get over 50% of my news comes from Reefbuilders. But anyway, this week we have two pieces of news, and the great news for Ryan is that they're both equipment.
Oh God.
One, and they're both auto testers.
One second, let me put on my pretend to be interested face.
Don't have a pretend to be interested.
No, I don't. It's usually like this, isn't it?
The first is from Hydros, which is called the Maven, or the Shaven Maven, as I call it.
Okay.
And someone on the Prestige Reef Talk Show, I think it was Philip Harrison, said, "I'm craving the Maven," which I liked.
Okay.
This is an auto tester. It will test everything you want, basically. Alkalinity, calcium, magnesium, nitrate, and phosphate. It has this bit here is in the middle is the testing vial.
Yeah.
So it has one. You can only test one of each of them at a time, one parameter at a time. But it has two intakes, so you could connect it to two tanks if they're close enough together.
Okay.
Which is quite cool.
How does it test?
It's like a Hanna checker. Posh Hanna checker. It's got a color meter. This is what I don't actually know that, but it looked like that was what it did. It looks like it's got a color meter, so it does like the color change thing, and it says your nitrate's 4 or whatever because it knows what color.
It looks quite small to do all those things.
So it's kind of like it's size of your head, basically, from what I can make out. Yeah. Probably, I mean, what's a head is not a standard measurement, but you know, it's not.
Even
it's
that's
not,
quite small. The
yeah, it's not massive, to be fair. But it's got there a couple of actually. I watched the video about it because I wanted to make a few notes on it. So it tests all those things. It's a standalone device, so you don't need the other Hydro stuff to run it. It's got two inlets. That was it. There were a couple other points that I've forgotten from the video now, but there was one thing that for me is a deal breaker. That means I wouldn't buy this, and I think they need to seriously. We often upset people. We're going to upset Hydros this week because
we don't often upset people. You often upset.
this is not good enough on this. But the one thing that I really genuinely don't like,
yeah,
it's not available in the UK.
Oh, is it not?
No, and for that reason, I wouldn't buy it.
I was wondering what you were going to say because I was like, Telegram really rates these. Like, I think.
Yeah. It looks really good, to be fair, but we don't get it in the UK. And they've never made any noises like they're going to bring it over to Europe. But why?
But why?
I don't know. But because they're a relatively new, Hydros is a relatively new company.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to establish themselves before they spread out. So, and America's a big market anyway. So,
yeah, true.
It's probably Hydros,
if you're listening and you want a distributor, you let me know.
There you go. Yeah.
Distribution market.
Yeah. But I think that looks really good, and Hydros stuff generally looks good. It looks solid.
Yeah.
It feels like it's well built. I've never touched one, but from the Telegram talks about it, and it just looks like it's well put together, and I like it. It looks good. But and there's no notes on release date. They said this year.
I'm assuming there's nothing to stop you from just buying one from America, getting it sent over, and changing the plug socket.
I did think about that, but I don't really understand. Sometimes 110 volts doesn't translate to 240 volts. I don't really understand it, to be honest. The thought did cross my mind to email them and say, look, if you want to send one over for review, I think that is good. If you can send an adapter, do it. But I don't think it's worth it, to be honest. And I prefer not to contact companies. I prefer them to come to me. So whatever. It looks good, but it's not available in the UK. So Hydros, sort that out because we want it. Was there anything else that I needed to tell you about that one? No, I don't think so. No, but there you go. That's it. No, yeah, price. There's no word on price. I would guess if it's less than $1,200, I'd be surprised.
Do you think, in your opinion, these testers are getting better? Or do you think they're just changing form and tweaking, like slight tweaks, but they're all many of them are relatively similar?
They all use the same technology. So all the alkalinity ones, or most of the alkalinity ones anyway, use a pH probe and acid, and they increase the whatever. And most of the ones that test several parameters use basically a posh Hannah checker.
Yeah.
So they all use the same technology. I'm not aware of any breakthroughs in testing that have been brought to the market that improves accuracy or consistency or whatever. But that form factor of that looks pretty impressive, because the current ones that do lots of things are the ReefBot and the Mastertronic, and they're both big, whereas this looks much smaller. And the Kamoa bringing one out, what's it called? Reef Master, I think. That's smaller than the Mastertronic and the ReefBot, but it's not as small as the Hydros. So that in itself is an improvement. And actually, the one thing with this that is worth mentioning, the cleaning vial, you can just pull it out to clean it. Maintenance looks really easy on that, and that's good. So those are the improvements you're getting: form factor, maintenance. They put thought into that sort of thing. So the technology isn't changing massively, but they're making things better and more compact and all those sorts of things. So. But yeah, still nothing, no breakthroughs as such, but I think that looks really good. And all you want is something that tests magnesium, calcium, alkalinity, nitrate and phosphate. That's wicked. Well, salinity, pH, temperature. But salinity is difficult to monitor regularly, and pH says you can just get a probe. So, but there you go.
It loses calibration. And do you even, you obviously dose calc, so you were measuring your pH, whereas I've not measured my pH ever, as far as I know.
No, and I need to start. I don't measure it on the water box. I've got a feeling it's like high eights.
I just can't be bothered to keep calibrating it. And what am I going to do to change it? Nothing, probably. Yeah. So might as well not know.
Okay. Tony's Coral says, I bet they'll make it cost $600 to $800. If it costs $600 to $800, friggin' bargain. I would expect it. He says that they like to beat the Apex. How much is the Apex? In the UK, I think it's like £1,200.
I don't know. I've never ever had anything to do with
Trident. No, me neither. I don't know anything about it. Someone posted on Ultimate Reef earlier, it's £800 for the Trident. Someone posted on Ultimate Reef earlier saying it would be good to tag me and said, do you want to do a comparison? Or it would be good to get a comparison of these three devices. It's like, well, first off, I'd need them to send it to me. But secondly, I don't have any Neptune equipment. I never have had.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's Neptune stuff is one of those things that it passes me by. Massive in America, not so big in here, but because I don't have any and I never have had any, I don't really pay much attention to it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Oh, bollocks, I've just closed the wrong bloody tab. Which is unfortunate, because the second piece of news is the Neptune Apex Trident. Let me bring up the.
Yeah, I couldn't work out what was different about this. As in, I didn't look into it properly, so I don't know. I just, I'm assuming it's testing nitrate and phosphate now, which you didn't do before. Correct.
So it's called, I misnamed it. It's called the Trident Nitrate and Phosphate. Okay. Well, this says Trident 2NP. And actually, so I watched the videos on this. Where did I watch it? I can't remember. I watched it somewhere. And they were saying that it tests nitrate, phosphate, and alkalinity.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. Why would it test alkalinity? Because the Trident already does that, calcium, alkalinity, magnesium. So why would you? Because a lot of people can end up with both. You don't want to test out twice. But on the website, on saltwateraquarium.com, it looks like it doesn't test alkalinity. If you're in the chat and you know, let me know. But it would be weird if it did, because it would just increase the price for no good reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's a new Trident coming out. Looks like the same form factor. A lot of people don't like the form factor, and you can 3D print an alternative case. So it would have been good if they updated that, but like I said, I've never used it. And it'll test nitrate.
It's not very space saving, that case, is it?
No, it looks cool. And I think that's probably the leading thing. But it tests nitrate and phosphate. So you could have two Tridents, the normal one that does calcium, alkalinity, magnesium, and then this one that does nitrate and phosphate. And then you've got everything you need, basically.
Yeah.
Apart from trace and all that sort of stuff. And again, no word on price. That is coming out in May this year. So there is a what's it called, a release date on that. And there was a Neptune DOS, a new Neptune DOS coming as well. I almost forgot. That is slightly quieter than the last one.
Exciting.
There were a couple of other updates, but they didn't see the Neptune, the Trident that tests nitrogen phosphate. That's cool because that's worth knowing about. But a slightly quieter dosing pump with a couple of improvements. It's like, yeah, great, but yeah. And particularly given I don't use Neptune stuff.
Oh, they're using the quiet drive technology now, aren't they? That's what it is. That's why I remember that. That's why I thought I couldn't work out why I was thinking of quiet drive earlier.
Oh, right.
Because they work with Ecotec, or they're owned by the same
part
company.
Of the same, yeah, yeah.
And obviously, Ecotec had the quiet drive technology. It's obviously transferred over to this now. I assume that's what's happened.
I don't know. It's just a driver, so it's weird because it's when they did the quiet drive on the MP40s,
yeah,
and all the MP pumps, the hardware didn't change. They just updated the driver and it made it quieter.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense to me. But
they explained how they did it once. I think I can't explain it, but they did explain what it does. It's something to do with like continuous motion. I think they explained like a merry-go-round. I don't know. I'm just talking. I literally don't know. And I probably watched it like 5 years ago, but there is a difference. And I thought, oh, I can see how the two companies, now that they are owned by the same people, have obviously crossed with each other and shared some of the information.
Yeah.
So that's probably what Telegram meant, because the thing he posted, he said that they were reusing old technology. And I think that must be what he was talking about then.
Well, so he said before that apparently GHL used to use the same dosing pumps on their maxi doser.
Oh,
But Neptune, and hearsay, I can't remember the ins and out, but I think Neptune said to the company who make them, we don't want you to sell them to GHL anymore. So GHL had to go away and make their own one. So now they make their own ones.
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's no facts again, here.
There are no facts on this show, and Neptune stuff passing me by, so
yeah.
But there we go, that concludes the news, if I can find my outro. And before you and I fall asleep live on,
so we're knackered
on YouTube, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I was thinking this a minute ago. I knew you were going to ask. I don't have anything else to say other than let me go to sleep. I can't believe it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to go get into bed now.
That's one thing. So a couple of people like Hydros, no coding, it's all drop-down menus, all like that. And Edward says proprietary reagents. Yes, it does have proprietary reagents. That's a good point, because that's noticeable.
Come on, so, you played the second theme tune. We don't still talk about equipment after you play the second theme tune.
And now we have more news. Maven uses proprietary reagents.
I find the Neptune stuff quite intimidating.
Because
of the coding. In this day and age, it surprises me that there's not really, really basic systems for some of these products, where it literally should just be, you just click there. The Mobius app's pretty easy. They should all be as easy as that to use, but they just aren't.
Mobius will end up doing all sorts of things, and they'll have controls, that sort of stuff. That's what's so good about the Refactory app, is it's just so easy to use.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved it, because it's just like the GHL one is quite complicated. Same for Neptune and various others. The Refactory one's dead easy, but their hardware is not as good as GHL hardware. And you know, there's always a trade off.
I think it's getting to the stage though where that is becoming more important for people. So before, I don't think people were necessarily buying based on that. Whereas I think now people are going, how much trouble is this going to cause me? How often is this going to disconnect? How often do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And I bet before, more and more people were really hardcore reefers, so they're prepared to invest their time.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot more people these days are not quite so completely obsessed. It takes over their life. So they want a bit more functionality, especially when everything in life is so easy. Your phone is a piece of cake to use.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. But Ryan's going to fall asleep. So we need to.
Eyes are a worry now.
Gary McConnell says there are two new Waterbox aquariums out tomorrow. I will look out for that.
And that can be next week's news.
Yeah, don't talk about news or I'll have to play the jingle again. But
yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for joining, guys. Ryan, thanks for coming along, and we will catch you all next week.
See you later. Bye.